Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Let's go. Our returning champion is Brenna McGowan, the master of the pre-launch. Today, she's going to tell us about a special pre-launch technique, really a set of techniques called anticipation marketing. Perhaps the best advantage it gives you is that it puts you front and center in your prospects' minds, and at the same time gets them eagerly looking forward to getting full details about what you're going to launch. Maybe even more important is that it revolves around one word, trust. As we've talked about here before, and as you know, right now, trust is at an all-time low. Lots of reasons for this, but you don't want low trust to interfere with your launch. Anticipation marketing helps you build trust by gradually getting your prospects familiar with your new offer in an unobtrusive and exciting way, so they just can't wait for the launch itself. Just as I know you can't wait for this. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So, Brent, it's great to have you back. Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for having me again.
Oh, yeah. Well, we like the good ones to come back, and you're one of the good ones. Okay, so let's hit the nail on the head. What exactly is anticipation marketing?
Right. Well, the definition of anticipation is excitement, waiting eagerly for something to happen. And that's exactly what anticipation marketing is how can we build up excitement and buzz and get people truly excited for what is to come in the future?
That's pretty straightforward. And in marketing, especially in your marketing, in the launch and the pre-launch portion, why is anticipation so crucial? Why is it so important?
Well, first of all, like you mentioned, trust definitely is there, right? We're building up trust during this time, but it does a lot of things. It primes your audience. It gets people ready. It gives you an opportunity to shift perspectives, which is so important in copywriting, and is often left out of the content piece sometimes when we think about it, because we have to think about this. We're talking before a launch, what people are seeing, our podcasts, our Instagram, our emails, all of that. So we're having time to shift perspectives. It also initiates and creates desire for what's to come. Right now, I feel, well, not right now, but in general, a lot of times our marketing is set up to think about what's happening in the moment, to tell people what's going on. But when you can start using anticipation, you actually take a step back. I feel like it's a way of being proactive, where sometimes, and I'm a business owner, so I feel it, sometimes we feel really reactionary in the type of marketing that we're doing. So what it allows us to do is to build up this time to build up trust, build up excitement, get people excited, get people asking us for what's to come, versus I think of sometimes marketing as like us waving our hands, like, oh my gosh, like I have this thing, come get it, let me tell you about it. Where it really kind of sets the stage to reverse that and get people intrigued, interested, curious, and leaning towards us in our marketing practices.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a special kind of engagement that you create, not just so people are interested in you or your brand or your organization, but about a future event or an unveiling or a new thing that's going to happen. And a lot of people, well, I guess, I mean, you know this better than I, but it seems like a lot of people, when they're going to launch something, they don't really think much further beyond the product and selling it. They don't think about the atmosphere, the context, the conversation, the state of mind that a prospect's going to have about them and what's to come before you even tell them what's to come.
Exactly. And that's really what it's about. It's about setting that stage well ahead of time. So that, going back to priming our audience, we want to have them in the mental state to be like, yes, this is something I need. This is something I want. This is something, this is a problem I'm trying to solve. You know, there's so much coming at us all day, every day, that what we want to do is kind of get a little piece of someone's mind to be thinking. And I know we're going to talk about it, but when we can create curiosity, when we can create open loops, when we can create intrigue into solving that problem or getting something that we want, or being acceptable to the change that might it take for us to go through this, that is when we can start seeing our conversions going up. And there's ways to do this in your marketing that are both over and covert, is what I say. So there is the basic, like, letting people know that something's coming up in the future. So often we forget to mention, like, hey, you know, in a month from now, I'm going to be offering this, or this is something you should be thinking about. So just mentioning it ahead of time is often forgot in the busyness of us taking care of, like, today's problem or what we're working on today. The other thing is, when we do this overtly, is just asking for audience opinion, getting people to buy in early. How can we ask them? I've been thinking about starting my own podcast, and I'm like, okay, well, what would the name be? What would the topics be? What would you like to see on this? So not only am I gathering market research, which is very valuable, I'm also getting people a little buy-in. I have people ask me, are you going to start that podcast? Are you going to do this? Which, by the way, I don't think I'm going to do, at least as of right now. But I have this, like, buy-in, and it helped me make a decision as well. The other thing is just giving people a behind the scenes of what you're working on now for the future. And this is the overt stuff, right? The stuff that's plainly seen. So for example, I do my event, which I was so proud to have David a part of last time, called Behind the Launch. Well, I'm working on that right now. And
can I stop you? I just want to offer you a friendly challenge.
Yes.
What's the difference between that event and what we did on whatever that walkie-talkie thing was and a podcast?
That is Behind the Launch. Well, a podcast, great question. So a podcast, that is a private event that you have to sign up for, mm-hmm. that the speakers agree to help me promote and get the word out about. Where a public podcast would be something that anyone can listen to, that you don't have to sign up, you don't have to hand over your email address, and would be, I would say, a more like consistent weekly thing, where Behind the Launch is an event that happens twice a year.
That's true. It took me many years to boil this down to a few hours a week. So, okay, Nathan, you're very patiently sitting there waiting to say something, and I'd love to hear what it is.
I just wanted to dovetail. You mentioned the word conversation, David, and Brenna was talking about audience buy-in, and one of the things that I have seen work very well is when you ask, hey, I've got this new book coming out. Should the title be this or should the title be that? Should I go with the red cover? Should I go with the blue cover? I've got a course coming out. I'm thinking about having this module, and this module. Which one would you be most excited for? That type of stuff, when people engage with that, when people feel like their contribution is leading to the end product, they're also a lot more likely to buy it when it comes out because they've got that investment in it. So I just wanted to emphasize the importance of customer buy-in. When you give them the opportunity to take part in the creation, even if it's just very superficial, like I'm split testing cover A versus cover B, when they get to participate in the creation of a product, they're so much more likely to buy it when it comes out. So I just wanted to emphasize how important that was.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And if it's not a new product, think about, maybe it's a bonus. I do this, like, hey, I'm thinking of, I did this last time with the pre-launch plan program launch. I'm like, okay, I'm thinking of doing a sales page template or a launch email templates. Which one would you prefer? And coincidentally, like, I thought people would want the sales page template. Like, hands down, people wanted those launch email templates. So I was able to talk about the program without selling the program, And as Nathan mentioned, you're getting that buy-in, you're getting people invested, they're looking forward to something. And so it doesn't have to be on a brand new product. Thinking about ways to do this, even with something that's existing, is truly helpful. And then those are the overt ways that we can use anticipation, but there's covert ways, the things that are a little bit more hidden beneath the surface. And so this is something that we work on a lot inside my program, which is how can we create these subtle open loops that give people aha moments, but keep them wondering, how am I going to do this? I coincidentally did this a little bit, even though I'm not in what I would consider pre-launch right now, but I did this morning with an email that I wrote where I actually talked about the cost of change and getting people to do a buy-in. But what it does, it leaves this little open loop of like, well, how do I get people to recognize the cost of change? How do I get? So thinking when you're writing content, what we want to do, especially right now in the age of AI, where there's so much information, is that we really want to give people things to think about without actually giving them all of the answers. And I know this is something that you talk about in your book, which I love, The Persuasion Story Code, which is how can we like touch on these things without actually the offer, our product, our service, whatever it is the answer to these aha moments. So creating content where you're being, and sometimes we do this, but it's really about being intentional. The other thing that you can think about is when you're doing this very overtly is really future pacing people of what their life is going to look like in the future, but leaving that gap open of where they're at now and where they're going to. The last way, or it's not the last way, another idea of how you can do this is you really want to use your content as a way to get people mentally prepped for your methods, for how you help people. And so you can use your content in these subtle ways to start creating this sense of curiosity, this sense of anticipation for getting the relief to their pain or for getting the thing that they really want in their life by using our content slowly and systematically to kind of build this up. So when you can do this from both like that overt way where you're letting people know what's coming, getting them excitement, creating buzz, getting buy-in, and you're also subtly changing the way they think, doing these loops, positioning your product or service, it truly makes a difference when it comes time to actually sell that offer.
Oh, that's great. So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to give you my first thoughts on it before you answer. Can you give examples of how anticipation marketing is commonly used in other industries? And here's my example. Yeah, oh my God, every Apple product. And then you'll see these multi-part posts on, oh, this latest version of iOS is so cool. I hardly see that for anything else, but what are your examples?
Apple is definitely the one that like comes to mind. I think two of my favorite examples is first the movie industry. Right? You don't find out about a movie that's coming out the day it comes out. Movies start telling you, I think it's like up to 120 days. You know, when you're sitting in that movie theater and you're watching, you know, whatever movie that you're watching, you know, all of those trailers that you're seeing ahead of time is because they're trying to get you to anticipate what's coming up. And if you think about it, not only trying to get you to anticipate, they're creating these open loops. A trailer is a beautiful example of this done in a very short amount of time, which is, okay, I'm going to get you excited. I know you as a customer, so I know what you want to watch. So that I know that, you know, when you're in a movie theater and you're watching, you know, a kid's movie, they're not going to put like a rated R movie, like trailer, at least most of the time, right? They're going to do something for the next kid movie that your kids are going to be excited about or whatever that is. But the other thing that happens in a movie trailer is that they're giving you these little clips that are giving you just enough information to get you intrigued. But they're not telling you, they're obviously not showing you the whole movie. So it's a great demonstration of how anticipation is used in every day. Another great example that is current to where we're at now is Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. I mean, everyone is, you know, I like Taylor Swift, but I'm not like a huge, huge fan. But even me, I feel like a little FOMO, like, oh my gosh, I'm one of the ones that didn't go to this concert. Like everyone I know has gone to see this concert. With Taylor's like a masterclass in this because she built up actually, from what I've read, she actually was creating intrigue about her possibly having a tour before she ever announced the tour. Then she went in and she did a pre-sale where you could, you know, only a handful of people. I believe you had to be like part of her like insider club to get tickets. So she created a lot of FOMO from the very beginning of her tour. Then what ended up happening is that people rushed to get tickets, which boosted up the price, right? The anticipation of this. And then because there's so much buzz and FOMO and people waiting, then all of a sudden now you can see the cycle just goes on and on. So there's so many like use cases that we see around this, but we may not be recognizing it's because they're leaning into anticipation.
Yeah.
Before we move on, I just want to bring up the comparison of movie previews. One thing that I found that works really great that's totally in line with this is for my clients, we do a lot of Instagram and TikTok videos, and we do two-step style videos where we give a little bit of a hint of, hey, here's a problem that people are dealing with. Here's how a solution might look. And if you want more information, comment info in the comment section and we'll hit you up. And then the people that raise their hand, it's a little two-step post. The people that raise their hand and say info, we just send them back and we say, hey, we're thinking about launching this thing. Go here, sign up to get notified when it comes out. And that fills up the list with people who are warm, people who are qualified, people who are anticipating, and people who are already familiar with you. So all of this is totally in line with what I'm seeing work right now.
Yeah. And I think it's such a cool way to stand out too in this. As marketers, we're always looking, how can we help our businesses, our clients' businesses? How can we stand out more? And exactly what Nathan said is that you're doing these little interesting things to create this buy-in that people are like, yes, this is what I want. And you're creating a warm list of buyers. So I love that.
Okay, Bren. So you talked about open loops before. Let's talk about them some more.
Yeah.
Why are they so important when you're building anticipation?
Right. Well, there was a study done in the Journal of Marketing in 2003, which talked about how cliffhangers or open loops actually create more engagement. They actually get people more receptive to the future of coming back and buying your products and service. And not only that, with open loops, what ends up happening is part of the sales process is, when this is done right, we will actually buy something to close the loop, right? We become curious and intrigued. And so the benefit of this is you're able to take the customer along in the journey. So you can create little open loops. For example, for my last pre-launch, I had a week-long series about the five launch mistakes. And so what I did every day was I presented a new idea. But then at the end of every email, I opened the loop of, okay, now that we've talked about this mistake, if what you may not realize is that this mistake actually leads to the next mistake. And so I was able to kind of draw people along the way. So there is something called the information gap theory, which as humans, the way our brain is wired is that if we get information, we want to close the loop. It happened to me the other day. I was talking to a friend. I had a friend goes, oh, I really want to tell you something. This is on Voxer. And then she didn't tell me what it was. And I was like, okay, what were you going to tell me? Like, what did I miss? Right? Like, we're nosy people. Like, I think we don't take into account, like, we're nosy people. We want to know what's coming up. We want to be in the loop. And when you're in the loop, and when you create these open loops, what ends up happening is your brain will actually stay more engaged. This is why TVs do cliffhangers. It's because I give an example, like I'm an 80s kid, 90s, you know, early 90s teenager. And I always think about the Friends episode where at the end of season one, there is the scene with Ross and Rachel. And we're trying to figure out, will Ross and Rachel get together? And that episode where the season two, episode one, became one of the most watched television episodes for that season because of the cliffhanger that they opened up. So it's like, you really want to think about how can you create this kind of intrigue in your marketing, because it will help people remember you. People will want to come back and close those loops. Even the things that Nathan and I were talking about getting buy-in, like, do you like this cover or this cover? Okay, well, I want to know which cover you actually chose after that, right? There's just these ways that we're able to start standing out more in the market, creating more intrigue, more engagement with our audience by when we start using these open loops.
Okay, that's really cool. So one problem everyone's having now is there are more choices than ever. There's more distraction than ever. There's more content out there than ever. How does anticipation marketing help you stand out in a crowded marketplace?
Right. I love this question. There's a couple of different areas that we can talk about, but the one thing that pops immediately into my mind about standing out was, first of all, going back to those open loops. Like, people remember something. It is clinically shown, from my understanding, is that when we can't close that loop, it actually gives you a place. When something's resolved, we move on. When something's left open, we want to know what's going to happen. So that's the first way the first way you're going to stand out. But with anticipation, the other thing that is really cool that we may not think about is we're in this world today where we think immediate gratification. We got to give people what they want now, right? Because of everything that's going on. Where I actually see an advantage to having some restraint in our marketing and our offers. So there was a study that was done in the 80s where graduate students were asked how much they would pay to kiss a celebrity of their choice, right? So, like, let's get in our mind, like, who would you kiss? And that's what they asked them. And it's kind of a funny study, but what ended up happening is that these students said that they would pay more to wait 3 days than they would to kiss that celebrity the same day. And so what that study shows us is that there's value in waiting. Right? We think that the value is giving people exactly what they want right now, but there's a value of people waiting. And not only is there value in people waiting, we actually value the thing that we waited for even more. So if you can think about how in your marketing, how you can start to show a little bit of restraint, start talking about what's coming up in the future. Once again, we're creating these open loops of what's to happen. We're creating anticipation and intrigue. And then we start standing out because people are wanting what we have, even though they can't get their hands on it. My brother, as we're recording this, it's very close to Christmas. My brother was looking for a particular Lego set for his son. And he was like, you know, I'm going to wait and see if it goes on sale for Black Friday. Spoiler alert, it did not go on sale. It actually sold out. And now my brother is looking for this Lego set that's twice, like, people are buying them and actually charging twice as much. Like, he actually found one on eBay that someone realized that they were selling it for like way under market price that it is. And then they took it off and put it on and doubled the price, right? And that's what I'm not saying to do that kind of stuff, but I do think it speaks to people value things that are more naturally scarce. And that is what happens when we start using anticipation. It's not that we're holding back. We're talking about something in the future that they can't get their hands on. And through that, we can see FOMO. Think about even as a service provider, as a copywriter. I know that when I would tell someone, oh, I'm booked out for 2 months, all of a sudden they're like, oh, she's booked out for 2 months. You know, she must be really good if people are hiring her. So I'm going to go ahead and wait. And even though she's more premium priced, I'm going to go ahead and wait for that. And that is because of this. Like, I think anticipation marketing comes down to very, in my mind, kind of funny, but reality is, like, we want what we can't have, and we're naturally nosy people. Like, if you can keep that in mind in your marketing, right? Like, all of these problems start to be solved. You start standing out. You start positioning yourself as more expensive, more valuable. Yeah. You know, you start creating natural FOMO around your products and services. And what ends up happening is you're able to, the goal of this is to, of course, not only increase your prices, and not just to increase your prices, but to increase your overall sales.
Yeah, that's really good. And one thing that struck me is what you're saying is counterintuitive. You know, people think, you know, immediate gratification, direct marketing, right now, deliver a result, you know, the value of the customer, you know, decreases over time. And I think there are some circumstances where that's true, but I think for the circumstances you're talking about, it's absolutely right. And, you know, people do value what they have to wait for and some cases work for. So any tips on what we need to be able to do to implement anticipation marketing in our own businesses?
Yeah, I love this question. So the first thing is, I always say you have to be your customer's BFF, which is you have to really know them. You have to do market research. And this is something I talk about, whether it's pre-launch anticipation marketing, how incredibly, right now I'm working with a private client and we sent out a survey. They got tremendous response and we're looking at what people are saying. And I'm helping him with launch strategy and some copy advice. And I was like, gosh, this is all, we would never have thought about some of these things. And even if we did think about them, we would not have thought about saying them the way these people are saying them. So you cannot get someone to anticipate something if we don't know what they want. Right? Like I think about my kids and with the holidays coming, like I know what they want and therefore I know how to tease them, right? I know how to have a little fun with them over the holiday season. So I think you have to know people in order to be able to do this. The second thing that you have to think about is teasing your customer is not only fun, but it's profitable. And that goes back to those open loops. But if we don't know who our client and customers are, if we haven't done the research, we also don't know what to leave out in our marketing. We don't know where to create those open loops. We don't know how to tease them and keep them moving along unless we're able to really understand who they are. And the third way, and we can go into any of this in more detail that you like, but the third way is you have to give your content and launch calendar time, right? Anticipation is built up. Now, it doesn't have to be month to month like a movie theater does, but you do have to build time into your schedule, which means you have to take the time to figure out where are we going? What are we selling in Q1, Q2? What is our emphasis going to be on so that we can use our content and our all of the ways, various ways that we talked about earlier to be able to start, you know, slowly dripping out this type of content. But you can't do it without time. And I know as business owners, we're so incredibly busy. We're like, you know, sometimes just like, okay, we got to get stuff out right now. And it really takes a moment to go back, do that research, start teasing people, start creating the time in our calendars to be able to set yourself up to do anticipation marketing.
Oh, no, that's great. You know what? You talk about a calendar and I think you have a free offer for our listeners that involves a calendar, right?
Yes, I do. So I have a personalized launch calendar. So if you're like, okay, Bren, like this has been great, but where do I even start? Like, what am I talking about? What are the topics or themes? How many weeks ahead of time before I put my offer out? I have this really cool calendar where you just go answer a few questions and within 2 seconds, it spits you out a personalized launch calendar and gives you the themes for your weeks that you can use during your next promotion.
Okay. And I think that's it. BrennaMcGowan.co/launch calendar, but we'll put the link in the show notes so people can get that there.
Amazing.
I just want to, as we're heading out, I just want to emphasize something. A lot of times on this podcast and as copywriters, we talk about once somebody's at your sales page, how can you be more persuasive? How can you get them to want to pull the trigger? And that's a big topic that, I mean, 400 episodes, we've probably spent every episode talking about that. What we talked about today is how to make it to where when people get to your sales page, they're already ready to buy. We've done all of the heavy lifting with the content, with the anticipation marketing, so that when they get to your sales page, they're just looking for the buy now button. And it takes a lot of the heavy lifting off of your sales copy at that point. So this is, if you understand this, it makes your life as a copywriter so much easier. So I just wanted to say thank you for coming and explaining this stuff to us, because we're always looking for the little advantages that we can put into, you know, can we tweak this? Can we test this against this? But this stuff that we're talking about makes all of that almost moot because, like I said, when people get to your sales page, they're already looking to buy.
You know, a very, very hard-headed and sharp-tongued college professor, management guru, Peter Drucker, said something, and I'm paraphrasing, I think, the purpose of marketing is to eliminate the need for sales. And this is that kind of marketing. What Bren, what you're talking about today is that kind of marketing. It doesn't eliminate it. We still have to do our thing, but it makes it so much easier. It eliminates a lot of the resistance.
All right.
I couldn't
one more
agree
time.
More.
One more time before we're out of here. Where is it where people can go and pick up your launch calendar, Brenna?
Yes, brennamcgowan.co/launch calendar.
Awesome. And we will make sure to have a copy or a link to that in the show notes. And you can get the show notes over at copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Thanks, Brenna. Catch you later.
Thank you.
Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.